he said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
I think that was a good hello, Tracy.
I'm getting better. After on our 108th issue, I think I finally got it down.
Well, it actually is my effort. See, I want to one day be able to play the ukulele and sing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have nice long hair. I'm going to be in Hawaii on the beach, and I'm going to start playing the ukulele. I'm going to get that on YouTube. So I'm practicing.
Yes,
I'm practicing in the shower.
Yeah, I hear you. I know you are.
I've always been a singer in the shower anyway.
You certainly have.
I think that's a good thing. Michael does that too. My son. Maybe it's genetic.
I don't know what it is, but I think you should shut the door and keep it to yourself.
I think we need to do a study on people who do not sing in the shower and their mental attitude and their behavior in life versus the ones that do sing in the shower and see if they're happier, if they enjoy life more. I wonder if there's a connection to that.
They had a show that was about people singing in the shower. You know, it was some kind of documentary or some kind of reality show about people singing in the shower, and they did a contest about it and all that stuff.
And what did the
I don't remember. Show I knew that it was on. Then we went on the RV tour, and then there was no TV, so much for that one.
I see.
Yep.
So that's another thing in your life that's incomplete.
Yes, exactly.
And we'll have to find out what happened.
But I do know that when you hear a song first thing in the morning with a catchy tune, and it sticks with you all day long, you just can't get rid of it.
Yes, you can. I know the remedy for that.
And you know what one really got to me is that commercial for those Huggies for the kids' little toddlers for the diapers. Do the potty dance. Well, I'll tell you, I couldn't get that out of my head, and probably because I just said that just now, I'm not going to get that out of my head today either.
Well, I think that the way I know what works for me is that you listen to the actual song and you can even sing the song, and then it releases it out of you. Instead of carrying it in your head, I think it's your brain telling you that you need to sing the song and hear the song when you can't get it out of your head, right?
Well, I know Seinfeld did an episode on that.
Well, it's like when you get the hiccups, you're supposed to breathe in exhaled air from a paper bag or hold your breath, which really works for me. And there's different methods.
Oh, I've never done that before. I usually just hold my breath.
I just hold my breath.
Or someone's supposed to scare you. And
there's a strategy. And I'm saying that the strategy for everyone out there, try this strategy. If you have a song in your head, you can't get rid of it, find a way to listen to it in completion and then even sing it and see if that doesn't get it out of your head.
Or drive you more crazy, one or the other.
Okay. So let's get to it. This is SNU. He said, she said, 108. Unbelievable. 108. What's cooking, dear?
What's cooking is derishasu miso soup. How did I say that? Didn't that sound Japanese? Derishasu means delicious. So miso soup.
She's turning Japanese. She's turning Japanese. I think so.
Whatever. Anyway, yeah, miso soup. We've been eating it quite a bit, and it's very healthful. And miso is a rich, salty condiment that characterizes the essence of Japanese cooking. And I've been really getting into that, and I've been making like 5-course, 6-course meals, haven't I? I'm doing pretty good. We don't even need to go out for Japanese food anymore.
Well, we had some friends over who enjoyed that, and they were very impressed.
Uh-huh. I did the goma-e with the tahini sauce. I made my own rolls, my wraps, tuna tatake, and it was pretty darn good, if I do say so myself. But you can buy the miso paste in a health food store or grocery store in the fridge department, as easy as a simple liquid cup of soup or a symphony of ingredients for a filling main course, which is usually what I make. I put lots of goodies in it. Unless I'm having company and we just want to have a little liquid as a starter, that's always nice.
But I like to use the miso as a starter. When I go out for Japanese, I want to start with the miso. And I like drinking it from the bowl.
Yeah,
never mind the spoon.
Traditionally, the Japanese begin their day with a bowl of the homemade miso soup. Can you imagine that? Instead of a cup of coffee?
I think that's an excellent way to start the day.
Yeah, that sounds great. They also use miso to flavor a variety of foods and other meals throughout the day. So to make miso, soybeans and sometimes a grain such as rice or wheat or barley, combined with salt and a mold culture called koji, and then aged in cedar vats for 1 to 3 years. The addition of different ingredients and variations in length of fermentation produce different types of miso, and they do vary in flavor, texture, color, and aroma.
Do you know what that koji is? That fungus?
It's a mold culture.
Yeah, it's fungus. Called Aspergillus oryza, and I know that because it's also used to manufacture enzymes, plant enzymes. It's used in the health industry, and it's an actual mold. It's a fungus.
So this is a good thing, isn't it?
Well, it shows you how you can take something that is potentially harmful and with technology and knowledge that is only available through technical means, you can actually alter it and change it. And of course, this goes back a couple thousand years, the tradition of miso.
Right.
And it's almost like evolution. You know, there's so much that you learn about how to use this stuff. And then we come along, we just want to take advantage of the benefits without understanding any of the history.
Yes, dear. Okay, anyways, as you were saying, like for centuries, the preparation of miso was a form of art in Japan. And miso was praised for its unique medicinal properties. And current research supports its use as a therapeutic aid in the prevention and treatment of certain cancers, radiation sickness, and right now they should probably be eating a lot of that, heart disease and hypertension, high blood pressure. So here's something of interest. Miso does have a relatively high sodium content. However, it's not the sodium alone in the diet that affects blood pressure, but a balance of all essential elements, including chloride, potassium, calcium, and magnesium. So, for example, adding potassium to the diet helps to relax the blood vessels and remove sodium from the blood, showing the same effect as reducing sodium in one's diet. So, what do you think of that, Corey?
Well, I brought this to mind at the recent lecture. Seven more nutritional lies. One of the lies is that it's safe to use the refined processed white salt, which it's not. Crude salt, sea salt, is fine, provided that you have a high intake of potassium, which our species evolved from. So Colgan and I did some mapping and analysis, and we found out that, I guess, the original diet had seven times more potassium than sodium. So if we evolved from that, if our genome was made from that, then the logic is that that's what we still need because our genome hasn't evolved beyond us yet. Like we're evolving mentally and intellectually and scientifically, but our physical bodies are still stuck in the past more or less because it takes tens of thousands of years to change our genes. Mm-hmm. So we still need at least seven times more potassium than sodium. The average person gets 20 times more sodium than potassium.
Right, right.
So it's a toxicity. And even in the literature, if you look up and do your research on salt, it will tell you that sodium at high levels will kill you. It's very, very toxic. It's like alcohol. Mm-hmm. A little bit gets you buzzed. Yep. A lot of it will kill you.
Yeah. Exactly.
So sodium is essential, like oxygen, but breathing too much of it will kill you.
Yeah, I know.
It's amazing.
It is,
huh?
Yeah.
But you've got to get that potassium in.
But that's that fine balance again. Everything goes down to the balance, right? Okay, so back to miso. Okay, the color.
What do you mean back to miso? We're still talking about miso. Well, this is all about miso.
We were talking about potassium and sodium, and the ratio in nature is seven times more potassium than sodium.
But it was about the miso.
I listen, amazingly enough. I do listen to you, Corey.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. The color of miso can be a good indicator of its strength of flavor and saltiness. So generally speaking, the lighter in color, the sweeter it is. There are exceptions to this rule, but if you are confronted with a selection and don't know which to choose, there's a useful guide. So miso comes in four forms: red, white, barley, and soybean. So my simple miso soup makes about 8 to 10 servings. So what you want to do in a large pot, you want to boil about 8 cups of filtered water and then reduce to simmer. And then you want to add about 1/4 cup of either wakame, shredded kelp, or dried nori. And the nori sheets that you can buy, just take some scissors and cut them up a little bit.
Now let's go back to the beginning. You want me to boil 8 cups of filtered water? I don't know if I can do that.
You know. I know you can't do that.
That seems fairly technical.
Well, what you do
is very demanding.
Before you add, okay, basically what I'm saying is before you start adding anything in, bring the water to a boil.
Yeah, that might be fairly demanding for the average dude.
Okay, so then you add your seaweeds in, and you want to simmer for about 5 minutes. The longer you simmer the seaweed, the less of a salty, fishy flavor it will have, which is very interesting. So
smells like fish, tastes like chicken.
Okay, I don't know what you're on this morning, but anyways. Okay, so then you add about 3 tablespoons of miso paste. So you want to simmer the miso paste until it's dissolved, and you don't want to bring the miso paste to a boil. Otherwise, you'll ruin the healthy properties and change the flavor of the miso. So you just want to lightly simmer it. And then once this is all done, you can add 1/4 cup of Bragg's liquid soy, which is optional, but I like to add that in. And you can add 1 cup of medium firm soft tofu if you want to. I mean, some people...
The firm is better.
Yeah, you like it firm. I like it medium firm.
The bigger chunks of the firm.
You like the bigger chunks, and then our friend of ours liked it small.
Soft tofu is great for blending and shakes.
Yes, yeah.
It blends better. Yeah. It's more soluble.
So it all depends on what you like. I like the small cubes of the medium to firm tofu. And you can add as much as you want, or don't add it in at all. And then 6 green onions all sliced up, about approximately 1 cup. Then you just simmer this for about 20 minutes, and voila, you have a beautiful miso soup that you can just leave on the stove on low heat and just drink it all day long in those cold winter nights or those cool spring evenings. It's just lovely. We really enjoy it.
And if you're having a full meal, I prefer just the liquid miso.
Yeah.
But you could turn the miso into a complete meal.
Right, by...
A big bowl of it.
Right, by... To make a heartier main meal, you could add any or all of these. Shrimp, clams, scallops, buckwheat noodles, spinach, dried mushrooms, Japanese radish, bean sprouts, or anything that you want.
You make like a stew or a big soup.
And it is darishasu.
What does that mean?
Delicious in Japanese.
Oh, that's cool.
I already mentioned that earlier, so therefore you're not listening to me.
Well, I spend very little time listening to you, dear.
Oh,
I'm just interested in a couple of things.
Yeah, lousy.
And once those things are achieved, I move on.
Yes.
So is that it for the miso?
That's it for the miso. So get on it, folks. Start making some miso soup. You're really, really going to enjoy it. So you can have it for breakfast, lunch, dinner, a snack. It's just a fantastic way to go.
Yeah, and that is, you know, one of the exceptions to the rules where there are certain soy products that we don't recommend, like soy milk, especially when it's sweetened with some type of refined sugar. The non-fermented soy seem to be the problem soys. There are exceptions, and here is where we get into the fermentation process. So fermenting the soy, even soy protein, I don't use soy protein myself unless it has been fermented. And even then, it still has a lower biological value.
Yeah, I get a gutache when I use the soy.
Yeah. So don't get caught up in the soy craze. You know, they're feeding soy and corn to the animals, and it's ruining them, and it is also ruining in us. So even if you don't eat soy, but if you eat the animal foods that were made from soy, it's creeping into your DNA. And we've got too much of it. So let's keep the diet clean and wholesome.
Well, it's like eating meat, fish, or chicken and burning it. Right?
Right.
So,
you destroy the value.
There are some types of soy, the way they're processed, are healthful for our bodies and others that are not. And there's meat, fish, and chicken that are healthful for us, but it's how you cook it as well. Right?
Well, here's where tradition can be good. The tradition of food in the Orient and in Japan has proven out the value. So their most popular foods in the soy world are the fermented soy foods, not the non-fermented.
Mm-hmm.
And we bring everything here and we tell everybody to eat as much soy as they can. And they end up with damaged thyroid problems and all the rest of it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, darishasu, I want to hear your stories on miso soup.
Good stuff. Okay, so who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Wade Lightheart. And Wade spoke on awesome health philosophy for healing, health, and high performance. And awesome stands for A is air, W is water, E is exercise, S is sunlight, O is optimizers, M is mental beliefs and attitudes, E is education, testing, and coaching.
That's a pretty good acronym.
That's a pretty darn good acronym.
And
if you can live by that, I think you'd have a pretty healthy lifestyle.
Well, awesome is used by a lot of people frequently.
Yeah.
Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah. I use it all the time.
So if you memorized this acronym, air, water, exercise, sunlight, optimizers, mental beliefs and attitude, education, testing, and coaching. and were able to actually
can you say it faster than that?
Articulate that. That was pretty good,
that was
actually.
Pretty darn good.
You know, some days you can just spew out this stuff, and other days you can't. So must be one of the good
days. Well, I think it's fun. Like, you know how when I always have parties, I always do tongue twisters all the time?
Yeah.
How
I don't usually do pretty
funny. You know,
I don't do well on those.
It makes me laugh. Anyway, the awesome health philosophy is a great acronym.
It is. And Wade's a good speaker.
Wade is a wonderful speaker.
Which is why I have invited him to participate at the conference coming up in September on the 24th.
Yeah, absolutely.
In Coquitlam. Mm-hmm. We've got the venue booked and confirmed now. And Brad King is confirmed as one of our speakers. I'm going to speak.
Karen McCoy is going to be there as well.
You and I are going to do a live, he said, she said, which will be very cool. It'll be humorous, and we'll be up to our usual antics.
Well,
and then
anyway.
I'm going to have a panel, like a forum discussion, and I'm going to be Donahue in the, you know, the audience running around and getting the questions.
But we have to give you a white hair, though.
I'm up for that.
White hair and glasses.
Yeah, I'm up for that. So, but it's going to be fun. We're going to have this panel, and Wade is going to be one of the panel members. I think Andre Potvin is confirmed. And who else is confirmed that we are going to have on the panel? Karen McCoy? Yeah.
The girl with no name?
Yeah, the girl with no name. Her name's Jackie, girlwithnoname.com. So we have got two more people to get, and then all that information's on the site. So just go to the homepage and click conference, and the tickets for that are $99 each. It's going to be a full day, a lot of stimulation, motivation, and
excitement.
It's going
to be really neat to have that panel. That's something a little different than we've done before. Have a panel of experts, and the audience is going to be asking questions. And it's going to be interesting to see what they have to say.
Well, I'm talking about consistency inside and out. So, or from the inside out. And this is a huge problem that people start anything and don't finish it.
We were talking about that this morning.
I know.
Actually.
And this is directed more towards, you know, health and nutrition and fitness, H=NF². So we have to bring attention to why people are failing in such high numbers, whether it's in the gym or with food and nutrition. And so if any of you out there have a friend or a family member that wants to be pumped up and stimulated and motivated, this is the lecture to take in. And then Brad is going to talk about some new research that he's discovered as it relates to fat loss and weight management that connects the mind and the body. So that's going to, and he's always good.
Oh, he's
always
a fantastic speaker.
Got something good to say.
Yeah. It's really great.
And he's got a new book, and he and I just did a couple of interviews. And so it's going to be a great full day, a full day conference.
It's exciting. And
then afterwards, we'll probably get together and have a few drinks and shoot the shit and have a good time and meet some people.
Uh-oh, you said the poo-poo word. I didn't think we were allowed to do that on here.
Yeah, well, we can do anything we want, dear. It's our show.
Anyway, Wade, it was an awesome interview, Wade. And we thank you very much. And we look forward to seeing you again in September.
Right on. Okay, moving on. Our CHI, Highway to Health Update.
Ooh, well, the Highway to Update is we are just playing the waiting game for Daisy's due date, which is April 14th.
Tick, tock, tick,
yeah,
tock,
we're like, get tick, the show tock. On the road. Now, she opted not to know what the sex of the baby was. And now she's wishing she did. Tim wanted to know, but she didn't want to know. And of course, she wins.
I would want to know.
For sure.
No, why not, huh?
Yeah,
but then
why
it takes
not?
Away the surprise, some people say.
Yeah, I guess. It's whatever, you know, it's up to you. It's
well,
a personal
I like
choice.
To know the punchlines and the end and the beginning and everything about a movie before
yeah,
I see
know.
It. How
I
about,
know.
Is anyone out there like me? I'm the only person on the entire planet that I know that's like me. I like to know everything, every single detail, beginning, end, everything about a movie before I've seen it. And then I imagine what it's like. And then when I see it, I actually derive more pleasure by seeing whether or not I imagined it to be the way it's presented. Isn't that
kind
of cool?
You are a weirdo. No, I don't. Well, I've read books and then I see the movie. And it's interesting to see how they play it out. Usually, you've always heard the book is better in most cases. But for you, sometimes there's a twist in the movie. I don't want to know that twist prior to it.
Yeah, see, I want to know.
Yeah,
advance.
I know. You're weird. So anyway, Daisy, get the show on the road. Because we want to get going here.
And I'm so excited about that little person that's going to pop out.
I know. I know. She's going to be a wonderful mother. She's doing the midwife way. She's doing everything naturally. She bought the baby bullet. She's going to make her own food. And so she's really
She's
going
to do what we did for her.
Yeah.
You know, we breastfed her. We fed her on natural whole foods.
It's really nice.
You start with the fruits and raw food to minimize risk of allergy in a human being. You start with breast milk, but the mother's got to eat well. And then you move from the breast milk to the raw foods, the foods that are easiest to digest. Then you go from there to the steamed or the cooked vegetables, like, say, yam. And then you get into the grains, if you even want to introduce them, preferably the traditional grains, you know, that come from other parts of the world.
Yeah, quinoa, amaranth.
Yes,
all
those
that.
Are much better because they're less allergenic, or even brown rice.
Yes, exactly.
And then you get into the animal proteins. And if you take your time and do it right, there's usually no problems.
Good. Well, there you go. Cool. Something else we did was Corey took my dance class.
One, two, three, four.
Right. What were the two dances we did?
American style foxtrot.
Mm-hmm. And
the jive.
Very good. Are you surprised you remembered?
Well, actually, I have to admit, it was a heck of a lot of fun. And it is very wholesome and kind of corny. I love the smoltzy music.
Yeah.
You know, that you dance to. I've always liked that
Well,
kind
that's
of
because
music.
We did the foxtrot.
Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra. Yeah.
Perry Como.
Yeah. That kind of music.
Yeah.
Very smooth and nice. Yeah. Very relaxing. But I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun.
But can you see how learning the way that I teach it, it's a rote memory system that I go through everything. Then the first night we learn something, and the second night we review the first night, and then we learn something new, and it's
you
always
build on
review.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you always review.
No, that was a good method.
But there's five basic dance positions, and you use those in every movement. There's always just the five basic
first
movements.
Position, second position, third position, fourth position, fifth position.
That's right. So when you learn these, and it's like going into the gym. I was training a girl in the gym, and I told her, like, when you walk into a gym, it's like going a new language. So I'm going to teach you what a flat bench, a horizontal bench, a decline bench, an adjustable bench. Because if I say to you, we're going to do some incline dumbbell presses. Now, for somebody who's never been in a gym before, they don't know what the heck that means. But for me, teaching her, for her to go get the weights and to know what a dumbbell is as opposed to a barbell, as opposed to an easy curl bar, it just makes your job so much easier, and they enjoy it as well. So anyway, in this dance class, I wanted my students to leave really understanding and be able to verbalize what they did, so that when somebody asks them, what did you do tonight? Did you learn? And they said, oh, I just learned the foxtrot. I learned the basic movement in the foxtrot. So they can actually go out and actually verbalize what they've learned, because I've asked people actually, oh, you're taking dance classes. What are you doing? I don't know. We're just doing this. Well, what's the name of the dance? Oh, I don't know. What style is it? Oh, I don't know. They don't know what they learned. Now, I don't know if it's the teacher's fault or if they're just dimwits. I really don't know what it is, but I really believe that if you're learning something, you should be able to tell a friend, then you know you really learned it. So I'm a stickler on that one.
Well, you took the romance, like you said, out of the dance. And it was more scientific.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is the best way to learn anything.
Yeah.
A rational approach.
Yeah.
You reduce it to the mechanism of its function.
Yeah.
And then when you get the steps down and all that, then you, and also know your timing, then you can start to enjoy it. You know, I'm at the level now, I'm at the advanced level now.
Oh, right.
Where I can go on Dancing with the Stars.
I'm ready to go. I wish you would. That would be totally awesome. For you to dance with one of those hot little numbers, and you got a nice body, you do well.
I think it would be. Then
I could dance with you then.
Totally awesome, too. Air, water, exercise, sunlight, optimizers, mental beliefs and attitude, education, testing, and coaching.
Okay, that's the end of that one. So that's our Highway to Health update.
So get out there and dance.
Get out there
shake
and
your
dance,
booty.
Folks. Shake, shake, shake.
That's what we did a lot in Hawaii. We're going back in October, and I intend to do a whole lot more of that hula stuff. And, you know, hang loose, bro. That's what it's about.
Yeah, lighten up.
You know what? There's so many people today that are uptight, huh?
You know what? I don't
uptight.
Know what it is. Is it
chill our, out.
Is it our 50s something that we're going through? It's just that everybody's so uptight.
Man, I'll tell you. You know why? It's because they have ignored themselves for most of their lives. And they have fallen by the wayside. And they're not well. They don't feel good. They're living in a state of semi-permanent depression, and they haven't got a lot of the main stuff figured out for themselves, like with their goals and their own direction. And we're self-directed beings, and if you're not being self-directed, then someone else is going to tell you what to do. So I think that that's part of it. Mm-hmm. I think that when you learn to unwind, you come to terms with a lot of stuff that is. By the way, Parmenides, he's the Greek philosopher that said and who coined the term, what is, right? And how many of us out there in SNU land have used that term? Hey, man, it is what it is, right? Well, that comes from a Greek philosopher a couple thousand years ago.
Or so, stupid is as stupid does.
No kidding. Well, that's a good one,
I
too.
I finally had that. We were talking about that the other day, and somebody explained it to me because I really
well,
didn't get that.
Well, that is a truism for anything.
Yes.
Smart is what smart does. Intellectual is what intellectual does. Yeah, you can replace stupid with any word.
Yeah.
And it's true, that saying.
Yeah. So I was a little stupid on that one. Anyways.
What else is going on?
Okay. We're starting another Principles of Sports Nutrition program that you're going to be teaching.
That's pretty exciting. April the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
It's another wind through.
Yep.
And again, this is a program for CSNA master teachers to teach. And I'm getting real close to having this thing completely done. You know, we've gone through it many, many times. I want it to be near perfection so that when the student teacher, master teacher downloads this whole package, they have everything that they need to actually teach the program to their own students in their own country, in their own region.
So we're just ironing out the wrinkles right now. But it really is a fantastic course. Mind you, I have to stand there with a watch just to make sure that Corey stays on time, because you know what he's like. Give him an inch and he takes a mile.
Yep. And if anyone's listening to this locally and you want to take this course, you've still got time, so you can go online and get involved. And finally,
April 12th.
Yep. Yes. And finally, we are going to the CHFA, the Canadian Health Food Association, the Expo West next week.
Yeah, that'll be cool to see some of our old friends and colleagues and also get some Chi TV interviews.
Absolutely. I always enjoy those interviews, Dr. C on Chi TV. Uh-huh. And we are going to do some promotion there and see if we can't invite some of the suppliers to be exhibitors at our conference in September. Because the conference is also a trade show. We're going to have the speakers and the forum in addition to 12 tables designated for suppliers.
Right.
So if anyone out there wants to get a table, contact us right away, because these tables are going to get snapped up right away. There's only 12 of them, and they're, I think, $300 each, right?
Correct.
Yeah, good opportunity to promote your wares and goods and services to the 120 attendees. We had a maximum amount. We want high-quality people coming to this thing.
That's right.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, so that's a wrap. What is your final word?
My final word is by David Suzuki. Education has failed in a very serious way to convey the most important lesson science can teach. Skepticism.
Na 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 na